So if tomorrow goes south, we'll all be reminded how miserable Twitter is during a Nebraska game. Chris writes into the Equitable Bank inbox, revisionist history be damned. The 78 Osborne team hadn't been a complete dumpster fire for the previous 3 years. The 78 team had already won 8 games earlier that year before beating OU, and current Nebraska has won 8 games over the last 3 years. A hell of a lot of difference between now and 78. Chris, do not rain on our parade. This is, we have, let me get this right, so it's diagnosed big red Alzheimer's. That is, put that up in the studio. Big red Alzheimer's. Before I give what I think, I believe, and I know will happen tomorrow, here is Chris. Hello, Chris.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I think you forgot to mention one time in the 93 season, I believe it was 93, we played an undefeated Kansas team, and we greased up the goalposts, and they got torn down anyways.
Was it was it in the 92 season?
Could have been in the 92 season, yeah. If I remember right, Kansas was undefeated late in the year when we played them.
Yeah, they were top 15. That was a really good Glenn Mason team. They had some NFL fellas on that team. Yes.
Oh yeah, yep. And
wasn't that a night game too?
Yeah. If I remember right, it was. Yep, it was a night game. Yep. And with that being so long back, crazy that I can remember all that.
All right, Chris, thanks for the addition to our tearing down the goalpost.
Yep.
All right. Now I remember that, because that was also, so it was a night game. That Chip Hillary was the quarterback for KU back then. They had some dudes. Kwame Lassiter, he went on to play in the NFL. Was Stubblefield on that defense in 92 for KU? But that night, that was an, I'm pretty sure that was a 6 o'clock ESPN kickoff game. Because the week before, now I got big red Alzheimer's. Because the week before was the Colorado game on Halloween, when Nebraska just curb stomped Colorado, beat them 52-7. That's the game where it is on the list of the most angriest crowds ever at Memorial Stadium, that were out for blood in 92 after the crap that went on in 90 and 91 in that series, and even in 89. And then the following week, KU rolls in a nighttime game, and Nebraska curb stomps one of Glenn Mason's better teams, 49-7. But the big takeaway from that game, now, talk about a three-game stretch. I know people are saying, why are you talking about 92? The KU game is where the Weebacks had a monster game, Derek Brown and Calvin Jones. Now, Nebraska went from beating Colorado like they did, then they beat KU under the lights, ESPN game. Mike Patrick and Mike Godfrey might have been on the call, if I remember. Then the following week was the Iowa State game, where Nebraska went to Ames and got beat. And they didn't go, I think they were 8 against Colorado. They maybe went up a spot after they beat KU. So Nebraska's like 7th in the country, and they go to Ames, and that's the game that will always live in the memory bank of Husker fans, losing to Iowa State 19-10. And then a very nondescript Oklahoma game a couple of weeks later, where Nebraska won down in Norman 33-9. All right. Will Nebraska win tomorrow in Norman? No. Here's the things. Anything can happen in college football. We know that. The FCC tells us we're required to say that. Nebraska hasn't beat a top 25 team in 12 straight. And there have been games during that stretch that have gotten one-sided. If you go into a game like this against Oklahoma, where Oklahoma can give you a gift or two, Spencer Rattler may try and show off his arm. He becomes Mr. Gunslinger, and next time he's giving you the football. If you're looking for a blueprint of how other teams lately that are not in the same category of Oklahoma have found a way to hang around games, it usually comes down to takeaways. It usually comes down to long fields, not short fields. Not Justin Fields, who's on our screen here in the studio. Just trying to make all the Bears fans remember who their backup quarterback is. But there's going to be turnovers tomorrow. Are they going to be Oklahoma giving it to Nebraska or Nebraska giving it to Oklahoma? Through two games, Oklahoma in the turnover margin category is a plus +4. Adrian Martinez has done a much better job in three games holding on to the football. Nebraska can't afford to give up the football tomorrow and give up short fields. And if they do, and a quick change on defense, you hold Oklahoma to field goals, not touchdowns. How do things get away from you? How did the 2008 game, when it was 28-0 in the first quarter, get away from Nebraska? You give up a turnover that ends up in points, a pick six, and then you turn around and you go three and out. You give Oklahoma a short field. Boom, it's in the end zone. It's Katie Barr the door, and things are rolling downhill. There's going to be turnovers tomorrow. It's going to be takeaways. I think Nebraska will get a couple of takeaways, but then you have to turn those into touchdowns. They can't turn into three and out and you give the ball right back, and Oklahoma goes, phew, woo. But if you give the ball to Oklahoma, they've got to be field goals. They can't be touchdowns. They're also, of all the people that have an important role tomorrow for Nebraska, Daniel Cerny has a huge role. We don't know what Culp is going to be like. Even though I think if you have an opportunity early to kick a field goal, instead of saying, hey, it's 4th and 5, let's go for it, but you're in field goal range, send Culp out there. You got to find out where he's at. But Cerny is going to be key tomorrow. He was much better against Buffalo punting the football. You cannot give Oklahoma short fields. You've got to make them go the distance. Touchbacks, thank God, that's been something that has worked for Nebraska in 3 weeks, that aids you when you get the opportunity to kick off. You're not trying to defend a kickoff return. What you're trying to do is get the right 11 guys on the field to start with Oklahoma at the 25-yard line. I think Nebraska defensively is going to be tested by the speed. There's going to be stuff in open spaces. They're going to have to tackle well. Linebackers are going to have to gum up the running lanes. Linebackers are probably going to be the key guys. Outside guys playing in space, trying to get any pressure. Inside guys, when Oklahoma decides to run, of stopping that. Because Spencer Rattler's going to keep alive plays with his legs, looking downfield, and his big boy arm, and Mims, and Hazelwood, and his Williams, and Woods, and his two tight ends. They've got plenty of pass catchers. Can Nebraska move Rattler off the spot? Can they make him feel a little pressure where he's got to get outside of the pocket and then he tries to throw it downfield and maybe you get a pick or here or you knock the ball away? That's how the defense makes this a real stingy game and mucks it up and makes it ugly. That's the only way that I see Nebraska winning this game. There is no way that I can honestly say that Nebraska gets into a shootout and you're like, here we go! Because I don't know how Nebraska scores points tomorrow. I don't know what Nebraska turns to on offense when they need to run the ball that they say, this is our go-to play. Quarterback handoff is... Offensive line, definitely afraid of what's coming. Because Oklahoma gets after the quarterback. Benito, Winfrey, Thomas, Redmond. I could go on and on. They pressure the quarterback. And they may turn the two tackles, Corcoran and Benhart, into a turnstile. And then number two has no time. And it looks so familiar, which tomorrow can't look familiar. If you're trying to sell me progress and you're sitting across from me at the table and you've got the paperwork on the table and you're trying to sell me that paperwork says progress, you can't slide the paper towards me to have me sign off on it if you look exactly the same on this stage as you've looked in the past. You can't. If you can't beat yourself, have an abundance of negative plays. When the going gets tough, you check out. You're like a fat man in dodgeball. You're out. You can't do that to sell me progress. So all of a sudden a mad scramble of the quarterback trying to make plays. And I think Adrian will make a couple of big plays tomorrow. I think he will make them with his legs and he'll make them with his arm. But how are you going to score points if your quarterback is always on the run? That's where it shifts to the head coach and his OC to dial up something that helps the quarterback and helps that offensive line. Quick game. Wide receivers, find a way to get open, and you have that amount of time. And then see if you can get hooked up. If that's not working, I honestly don't know how Nebraska is going to put points on the board if they don't get gifts from Oklahoma where they get short fields. But when you do, they got to be 7, not 3. But clearly tomorrow to me, and I said this at the beginning of the week, I posed the question to all of you. Are you fearful or are you intrigued? I got a lot of what I expected, fearful. Seen this rodeo before? Blowout city, baby. I'm going to have to pay attention to my wife by halftime. I'm intrigued because this is going to show me something of where you're at in year number 4. I don't expect Nebraska to win. I'm 45-21 guy, just if you're keeping score at home. But can you play clean, competent football against a team that's going to stress you in ways that you may not be stressed all season long? Can you do that? If you can do that, then we're in a conversation and we're still sitting at that table where you're trying to sell me progress. Because that would be a sign of, okay, between the earlobes, things are better. But if you look like a team that all of a sudden just panics, and once you get off the script, it is a hodgepodge, and again, it looks the same, like week 0, then I don't know what's going on. And you have some either hard questions or the same questions, and then you look immediately to Michigan State and you go, oh boy, against a team that should not be ahead of you but may actually be a favorite next week. Who knows? So I'm 45-21. Oklahoma is good. They're not great. I'm sure they'll get ramped up by the end of the year. They have a lot of Jimmys and Joes, but there's guys that can make money on Nebraska's side tomorrow by how they play. Their future, maybe even for some on the current team, but down the road, they can make some money off how they play tomorrow. But it's going to be a challenge for Nebraska. And if they have any hope whatsoever, I feel like now maybe I should go into the Al Pacino speech from Any Given Sunday. Should I go? If you are to have any hope, Nebraska's got to get off to a good start. They haven't gotten off to a good start. One touchdown in the first quarter. They've got their scripted plays. Those scripted plays can't result in a goose egg. They have to find ways to get points off their scripted plays. And then after the first quarter, which is management assessment, then you get more into your game plan and you start to work through it. All of these things we preach and we talk about and we just kind of, everybody gets tired of. Well, you're on a stage tomorrow. Go out and prove it. But I think 45-21. And I would gladly like to talk to everyone after the game on Big Red Overreaction. But if it gets one-sided, it'll just reiterate the point of Twitter during a Nebraska football game is a miserable place to live. Big thanks to everybody that joined us this week. This was kind of fun. This is Nebraska-Oklahoma have a special place in college football. The names, the games, the moments. What will tomorrow create? Is it going to be a nondescript game, or will there be something crazy that happens that 20 years from now we'll still be talking about? That's why they play the games. It's a helmet game. It's kind of cool. Nebraska and Oklahoma are playing. They're giving homage to one of the greatest games in the history of college football that in this day and age still has legs 50 years later. Most times it's forgotten about. 50 years later, that game still has legs, and they're going to talk about it tomorrow, and they're going to talk about how cool it was and how great it was and the players that were in it. That's kind of neat. Hopefully they don't spend a whole lot of time talking about the 50th anniversary. There's stuff to talk about on the game because that would not probably be good for Nebraska. All of our guests, all of you, all of the segments, a breakdown of what needs to happen tomorrow, what may or may not happen, I know, all up on the radio replay page, which you can find at 1620 The Zone under the Gary Sharp Show tab for Brian Munson, Brian Christopherson, Brett Ciancia, and Mike Neville. I'm Gary Sharp. Make memories this weekend. Have a great weekend. The weather's going to be great. Enjoy your football. Join us tonight on TV, Cox Channel 13. We have Omaha North and Omaha Burke over at Burke. That comes your way at 7. And then join Michael and myself after the game tomorrow for Big Red Overreaction. And then enjoy a Chiefs Sunday when they take on the Ravens. Oh, no, it's just a promo for our Chiefs station over on 1290. I'm taking myself out of this discussion. We'll be back again on Monday with another edition of the Gary Sharp Show at 10 on 1620 The Zone.